What kind of animal or being comes to mind when you think about the idea of renewal? What kind of creature can climb out of its own skin and continuously regenerate it? That would be the serpent, often shown as an Ouroboros, an ancient symbol of the power of cyclical regeneration. We will look at how this ties in with the energy of this Chikchan Trisena after I welcome you to episode 12 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, continuing with a podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. I've been posting this blog for many years, providing examples of how the energies of the Maya calendar tie in with what's going on in the world at large. As described before, this is a system that involves the continuous cycling of 20 unique solar forces in combination with 13 unique numerical powers to create a count of days called a Dzogchen. There are 260 days in one Dzogchen cycle, with each day being unique. Every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth, which would be one of those 260 days. Those energies greatly influence not only the events of daily life, but also how people see the world and interact within it. Both the blog and this podcast follow the Mesoamerican calendrical tradition of timekeeping involving trisenas, 13-day periods, each of which has a particular theme that ties in with the initiating energy, the first day, of whatever trisena we happen to be in. At the moment, we are in the Chikchan trisena, which relates to the general idea of life force, liberation, and awakening. So all 13 days within this time frame will be influenced by this energy in some way. We're heading into this period after just completing the Ebb Trisena, which was all about revitalization. And there was much of that going on, particularly during the 4 days of the Democratic National Convention in the middle of the Trisena, when the emphasis was on such things as unification, empathy, integrity, decency, respect, experience, and competence, with an emphasis on a comprehensive platform that was oriented around healing, the restoration of values, humanity, respect, kindness, unity, and having a common humanitarian purpose, equality, compassion, and yes, even normalcy, all things that have been missing in Washington for the past 4 years. Amazingly, but with superb timing, on the second day of the convention, the Senate Intelligence Committee released the fifth and final volume of its report on the Russia investigation, which revealed that it largely supports the key findings from the Mueller investigation on Russian interference in the 2016 election. Apparently, the report laid out a stunning web of contacts between the deceptor-in-chief and his top election aides and Russian government officials in the months leading up to that election. So it showed clearly that the deceptor's campaign was eager to accept foreign help and underscored the fact, as verbalized by many, that it is democracy itself that is on the ballot in the U.S. this November. Among the many places where glimmers of hope were being seen was in the various strands that revealed that large numbers of Republicans are now endorsing Joe Biden for president. One group is called Former Republican National Security Officials for Biden, and includes many former top officials from departments such as the NSA, CIA, FBI, and Homeland Security. The Republican convention began at the end of the Tresina, but it quickly became evident that this so-called convention had dissolved into nothing but a few Trump family members and associates illegally using the White House to puff themselves up in a disgusting display of self-aggrandizement and fear-mongering, underscored by a deplorable disrespect for traditions. It has always been understood and written into the law that the White House was not to be used for political conventions. So that fiasco can be added to the long list of misdeeds and crimes already racked up by the current occupant. There were other areas of concern, particularly towards the end of that Tresina, the wildfires in California that are still burning ferociously, and the concerns over tampering with the U.S. Postal Service. But even there, some signs of hope could be found as firefighters were making progress in containment in several areas, and as Congress began stepping in to curtail the mail service problems. Even former U.S. Vice President Al Gore weighed in, echoing the thoughts of many by saying that the distractors' claim that voting by mail is unreliable is clearly a ploy. As Gore put it, this attempt to deprive people from voting by dismantling the Postal Service at a time when people are trying to protect themselves from COVID is Trump's attempt, quote, to put his knee on the neck of democracy, unquote. So despite all the blustering rhetoric being spewed forth from the White House, as the last Tresina ended and this new one began, a clear sense of mobilization against the darkness of the past 4 years could be seen, with glimmers of hope breaking through. Today, which is the second day of this new Tresina, there are strong signs that the resistance is growing. Vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris gave a strong statement as she pointed out various ways in which Trump failed miserably to protect the people and has shown a reckless disregard, as she put it, for the well-being of the American people, a reckless disregard for the danger a pandemic would pose to lives, for the devastation it would do to the economy, for the damage it would do to communities of color, for the chaos that would upend daily lives and make it impossible to live normally and with a sense of certainty. She highlighted the many times, particularly in the context of recent dire events to do with racial injustices and the pandemic, when leadership has been basically non-existent, and where the destructor-in-chief has failed to uphold his oath of office and the obligations that go with it. We could underscore this with the fact that a super spreader event, basically, is taking place this very evening at the White House. As people gather, I think they said something like 1,000 people, without masks, in close proximity to hear the final speeches of the so-called Republican convention. One CNN reporter pointed out that more Americans have died while this fiasco has been taking place at the White House than died during 9/11, And yet there was nary a mention of the pandemic, and certainly no demonstrable attempt to adhere to safety measures at this time. On this day as well, the Daily Beast reported that more than 150 former staffers who worked for past Republican nominees, George W. Bush, John McCain, and Mitt Romney, have formally denounced Trump and endorsed Joe Biden. The New York Times reported that more than 100 ex-members from the late Senator McCain's staff all agreed that getting Trump out of office is clearly in the national interest. Politico reported that a letter signed by over 30 former staffers from Mitt Romney's campaign not only urged Americans to elect Joe Biden, but warned that a Trump victory could permanently transform the Republican Party into a toxic personality cult. They also had a letter signed by over 20 Bush alumni that said it's time to have a president who displays, quote, character, integrity, decency, and leadership, unquote. So the tide is definitely turning, but it really now needs to turn into a torrent. People need to be stampeding away from that darkness that has been the source of so much pain and destruction. So let's look at what we're working with now. At the point of transition between the Ebb Tresina and this Chikchan Tresina, it was clear that the energies were intensifying, particularly in the water department. Metaphorically, if you think of ebb as a kind of light, refreshing mist, then Chikchan might be seen as more of a denser water blessing. This is the energy of swirling life, so to speak, and it manifested quickly and intensely as Hurricane Laura rapidly intensified on one Chikchan yesterday, on the very first day, and then slammed into the Louisiana coast at Category 4 strength in the early hours of today's 2 Kimi. This is a Tresina that has been known to strongly energize and push people into action. Great passion and even great bravery often comes into play at this time, in keeping with Chikchan's life force oriented nature. In ancient Mesoamerica, this energy was depicted in many ways and can be seen perhaps most vividly in the imagery of the great feathered serpent that adorns so many temples and sacred buildings in places associated with ancient Mesoamerican civilizations. That association of the serpent with water and life force and liberation and awakening plays out in many ways through symbols such as spirals and zigzags and undulations and shells and even whirlpools. Its connection with the sky can be seen in symbolism associated with clouds and rainbows and even the Milky Way. This time, however, it could be seen most vividly in that swirling hurricane that has just hit the Louisiana coast, devastating much of the city of Lake Charles. And it also threw a watery curve at North Korea in the form of Typhoon Bavi. And this is not the first time this Tresina has brought this kind of event. This was in place in 2012 as well, at the time when Superstorm Sandy was terrorizing the U.S. East Coast exactly 11 cycles ago. The time frame is identical, with Hurricane Sandy slamming into New York on the third day. Just prior to that storm's arrival, everything was shut down, including the stock exchange, schools, businesses, refineries, the transit system, and airports. Sandy was a monster, some 1,600 kilometers wide, which threatened up to 60 million people in 23 states. And when it hit there, there was a huge power cut. Millions were thrown into the dark, and many places suffered significant flooding. And then, afterwards, it was cleanup time, with massive cleanup being needed all down the coast. So people had no choice but to roll up their sleeves during this entire Tresina and get to it. So when I say that this can be a watery period sometimes, you never know how it's going to manifest. There was a particularly unique event three cycles ago, which was in 2018, when rescuers carried out a complex and highly dramatic operation to retrieve 12 boys and their leader, who were trapped deep within a long, convoluted serpentine cave system in Thailand over the first 3 days of this time frame. The rescue involved intricate underwater maneuvers that required great skill, dexterity, courage, and multi-level cooperation. At first, people thought it would take a long time to carry out the operation because the cave undulated so dramatically and the boys were so deep inside. But bravery and ingenuity took hold, and they had the boys all safely out by the third day. At this time, it's likely we will be seeing a tremendous push to rescue and/or help people once again after the hurricane heads towards the northeast. One observer in the area said that the hurricane, quote, looks like it's in full beast mode, unquote, as it was hitting. And now we're starting to see that the damage was extensive. Further north, by the third day of this Tresina, which will be tomorrow as I speak, the emphasis will again be on life, liberation, and awakening. But at this time, justice will also be emphasized, as that is also one of the key themes during this time frame. That will be when Reverend Al Sharpton and his National Action Network will be joined by Martin Luther King III and the families of people who have recently lost their lives due to police brutality. The rally will begin at the Lincoln Memorial and then travel to the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial next to the National Mall in Washington. According to Reverend Sharpton, the purpose of this march is to restore and recommit to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of transforming hatred and injustice into freedom for all. As Reverend Sharpton put it, we need to go back to Washington and stand up. Black, white, Latino, Arab, in the shadows of Lincoln, and tell them this is the time to stop this. He said that the march is going to be led by the families that know the pain, families who have been directly affected by the hatred and injustices that have been so in evidence during the past few months and years. The march is going to get people ready to vote, not just for the next president, but for people at various levels of government who will commit themselves to doing what has to be done to address these kinds of issues. As it happens, this rally will take place on 3 Manique, which is an activation energy aligned with reciprocity and harmonization, working within this life force time frame, which has the same day sign energy as was in place when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. At that time, it was a 9 Manique day, which represents longevity in conjunction with harmonization within a storm or compassionate storm related Trisena. So there are many similarities between that 9 Manique energy in 1963 and the day sign energy in place on this 3 Manique day. In 1963, that was the first massive national integrated civil rights march in the U.S., the largest civil rights rally in U.S. history, where over 260,000 people converged on Washington, D.C. to bring attention to the issues. Martin Luther King Jr. was a powerful orator, and his words were delivered with great passion. He began his speech by reminding everyone that 100 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, Black people in the U.S. were still not free. They were still, as he put it, quote, sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination, unquote. They were still living, quote, on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity, unquote. Still languishing in the corners of American society. As he said, they were there on that day to dramatize a shameful condition. This is some of what he said. Quote, in a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, Black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note, insofar as her citizens of color are concerned, unquote. He then pointed out that instead of honoring this sacred obligation, the Black people of that country were given a bad check, marked insufficient funds. So he said that in that march in 1963, they had come to cash that check, a check that would give them, upon demand, the riches of freedom and the security of justice. In his inimitable words, we have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. And then he laid out the nature of his dream, where there would be equality and brotherhood and justice everywhere. So Al Sharpton and his supporters are taking it upon themselves to remind people of this call from 57 years ago. 57 years, and progress was being made until 4 years ago. Things have slid dramatically backwards since then, to the point where it has become necessary to reiterate these passionate demands for justice and equality. The march on this Three Manique Day, August 28th, is called the, quote, "Get Your Knee Off Our Necks," unquote, commitment march. And it will re-enliven those demands and call for police reform as well as for criminal justice reform. Marchers will call on the U.S. Senate to pass a voting rights bill named after the late civil rights icon John Lewis, and police reform legislation named after George Floyd, legislation that has already been passed by the House of Representatives, but is still being held up by the Senate. We wish them well. And speaking of legislation that has been passed by the House of Representatives, but is still being held up by the Senate, the ninth day of this Dracaena will mark one cycle exactly. 260 days since Trump was formally impeached by the House, and four cycles since the hair-raising day of infamy during the summer of 2018, when the deceptor-in-chief met with Putin in Helsinki and basically threw U.S. intelligence agencies under a bus by siding with Putin rather than honoring the work done by U.S. defense organizations. That should have been enough to put a stop to the unfolding disaster. But on and on it went. And how many of those sitting in the White House or on the White House lawn this evening would have remembered any of that? Or would it matter to them? And speaking of viruses, we are now at a point where the global number of COVID-19 cases has reached over 24.5 million, with the numbers continuing to rapidly escalate. India broke a new record today with over 76,000 new cases in one day. The U.S. has now hit 6 million cases, still averaging well over 1,000 deaths a day. California is getting close to 700,000 cases in that state alone, with both Florida and Texas well over 600,000 cases each. With the U.S. death toll at over 180,000 and several natural disasters such as the massive California fires and the remnants of Hurricane Laura still in progress, there is no telling how all of this will factor into the spread of this virus, particularly with the issue of schools struggling to open at this same time. Strong leadership is so badly needed, and there are still 67 days remaining until the November election. Of note is the fact that we are now recycling back to the energies in place when the coronavirus was starting to make its presence known. By the 12th day of this time frame, it will be one cycle exactly since the first cluster of patients with pneumonia of an unknown cause was first identified in China last December. So as we go through this trisena, we will see some very strong energy pushes, both in terms of earth-related forces, but also in terms of people pushing towards justice and equality. Indeed, many brave and committed warriors for truth and justice were born during this time frame, including Senator John McCain, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, President Obama, and Senator Chuck Schumer, who just yesterday blasted the so-called Republican National Convention as surreality TV, as he emphasized how that so-called convention was just another example of how the values, norms, and honor of the U.S. have been trampled on by so many Republicans covering up the horrific things that have been inflicted on the country over the past 4 years. Another of these warriors, in every sense of the word, is Admiral William H. McRaven, born under the energy of 4 Lamat, the fourth day, which is a heralding or signaling kind of force often aligned with leadership. Now retired, William McRaven was a Navy SEAL officer and a 4-star naval admiral who was the first director of all NATO Special Operations Forces. Among his many accomplishments, too numerous to mention here, he's credited with organizing and overseeing the execution of Operation Neptune Spear, the special operations raid that led to the killing of Osama bin Laden in 2011. McRaven retired from the U.S. Navy 3 years later, after more than 37 years of service. At that time, he was the longest-serving Navy SEAL still on duty. But even though retired, he's still actively on guard and actively serving as a 4 Lamat herald, as could be seen last year when he published an op-ed in the New York Times with the headline, quote, "Our Republic is under attack from the President," unquote, where he warned that Trump's policies were a stain on the U.S. and its values. In his words, quote, "A good leader sets the example for others to follow. A good leader always puts the welfare of others before himself or herself," unquote. Addressing the Destroyer-in-Chief directly, McRaven said, quote, "Your leadership, however, has shown little of these qualities. Through your actions, you have embarrassed us in the eyes of our children, humiliated us on the world stage, and worst of all, divided us as a nation," unquote. He also accused Trump of spreading frustration, humiliation, anger, and fear through the armed forces, and of championing despots and strongmen while abandoning U.S. allies. Calling for change, McRaven bluntly stated that if this president doesn't demonstrate the leadership that America needs, both domestically and abroad, then it's time for a new person in the Oval Office. Republican, Democrat, or independent, the sooner the better. The fate of our republic depends on it. And that was last October. Then in February, after the dismissal by the White House of the acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire, for having briefed Congressional Intelligence Committee members about emerging evidence of foreign efforts to interfere in the 2020 presidential election, McRaven authored a guest editorial in the Washington Post in which he declared that, quote, as Americans, we should be frightened, deeply afraid for the future of the nation. When good men and women can't speak the truth, when facts are inconvenient, when integrity and character no longer matter, when presidential ego and self-preservation are more important than national security, then there is nothing left to stop the triumph of evil, unquote. Admiral McRaven knows how to call a spade a spade. He's also written a book called Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. Here are a couple of quotes from it. He said, quote, bullies are all the same. They thrive on fear and intimidation. Bullies gain their strength through the timid and faint of heart. They're like sharks who sense fear in the water. They will circle to see if their prey is struggling. They will probe to see if their victim is weak. If you don't find the courage to stand your ground, they will strike. In life, to achieve your goals, to complete the night swim, you will have to be men and women of great courage. That courage is within all of us. Dig deep and you will find it in abundance. Without it, he said, others will define your path forward. Without it, you are at the mercy of life's temptations. Without courage, men will be ruled by tyrants and despots. As we have seen over the past 4 years, and especially over the past cycle, when the Senate did not have the courage to confirm the impeachment and remove the tyrant from office. But as McRaven emphasized, quote, with courage, you can accomplish any goal. With it, you can defy and defeat evil. Perhaps one of the greatest warriors for truth and justice, who always showed remarkable courage, was Mahatma Gandhi, who was born on a six oak day in 1869. Oak is the energy of love or guidance. And when you combine it with the number six, it represents love or guidance everywhere, in all directions. In a very six oak-like fashion, he once said, power is of two kinds. One is obtained by the fear of punishment, and the other by acts of love. Power based on love is 1,000 times more effective and permanent than the one derived from fear of punishment. Gandhi's story is long and complex, but he's best known for his identification with India's poor and his practice of non-violent resistance to British oppression in India. His non-violent, non-cooperation approach included the boycott of foreign-made goods, especially British goods, and his advocacy that homespun cloth be worn by all Indians instead of British-made textiles. He also urged people to boycott British institutions and law courts, to resign from government employment, and to give up British titles and honors. His goal was to cripple the British India government in every way possible, through non-violence. He was even imprisoned for 2 years. In that regard, his response was, "You can chain me, you can torture me, you can even destroy this body, but you will never imprison my mind." Through his steadfast efforts, through this practice of resisting tyranny through non-violent civil disobedience, India eventually gained its independence from Britain in 1947. It was Gandhi's advocacy of conquering hate with love that most appealed to people, and he had millions of followers, even achieving mythic status among many. But there were also detractors, and unfortunately, he was assassinated by one of them in 1948, at which time King George VI commented that Gandhi's death was an irreparable loss for mankind. But he remains a strong source of inspiration for those fighting for civil rights, wherever they may be. Martin Luther King Jr. and Nelson Mandela were both inspired by the greatness of his soul. Mahatma, in fact, means great soul. Mahatma Gandhi is now recognized as one of the 20th century's greatest political and spiritual leaders, and is honored in India as the father of the nation. So much more could be said about him, and so many others like him who fight for freedom and justice on a daily basis. But as usual, there are time constraints. More about the specific days and the nature of the energies within this time frame can be found in my Maya Count of Days horoscope blog, which can be found at whitepoppress.ca and mayacalendararts.com. Just click on horoscope blog to take you to that section. You'll also see a section with earlier podcasts, other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and information about such things as coaching services and personalized artworks. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, there are a number of options outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. There are many different ways in which to work with these energies, both decisions around which would need to be done on a one-to-one basis. Contact information is in the websites if you have any questions. To return briefly to the central symbol associated with this time frame, that of the serpent, or serpentine energy as in the Ouroboros, the serpent biting its own tail, the great mythologist Joseph Campbell called this an image of life. As he put it, the serpent represents immortal energy and consciousness engaged in the field of time, constantly throwing off death and being born again. He reminds us that this idea is repeated in many cultures, with the serpent being seen as eternally alive, symbolic of eternal mysteries. Its energy is back in place now, undulating through this time frame, enlivening all the other energies that are part of this period. It will certainly add energy to the events that are unfolding. Keep in mind that the push, the intent, so to speak, whether it looks like it or not, is always towards, always forward, towards liberation and renewal. In my blog, there is a reproduction of a pre-Columbian image of this Trisina, showing the Mesoamerican Lord of Fire and Time as a key patron for this period, with the second patron serving as a herald. These were important deities, important concepts or metaphors pertaining to this energy sequence. There is a suggestion that this is a time frame when monumental, highly consequential things can happen to move life forward. And certainly, that is how this Trisina is beginning. There is much we can learn from the great warriors for truth and justice who personally carry or have carried the energies of this Trisina, many of whom are now fighting mightily for the soul of America. I will close with a quote from one of them, the great soul Mahatma. "When I despair," he said, "I remember that all through history, the ways of truth and love have always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible, but in the end, they always fail. Think of it, always." Courage, fortitude, one step at a time. We will get there. Until next time, be well, keep safe. Love to you all.